Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
We're going to continue our series. We're going to continue our ride in the river. And today's title for our sermon is Empowering Love. Empowering Love. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, verse 6. That's where we will begin today. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus explained, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father or to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him." Philip spoke up, "Lord, show us the Father that we will be and that will be all that we need." Jesus replied, "Philip, I've been with you all of this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I've done. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show that the Father, who the Father is really like, and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you." And then verse 15. "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands." Jesus said, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they cannot see him or know him. But you know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandoned as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer. But you will see me because I will live again. And you will come alive too. So when the day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me. For I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will passionately be loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you proved your love 2,000 years ago, how passionately you loved us and this world. You sent your Son, Jesus, who you loved more than we'll ever know, to rescue us. Jesus, thank you for being loved by the Father and for loving the Father, for showing us the way, for showing us the truth, for showing us eternal life. Holy Spirit, fill us today with your love. Fill me today. Let every word be fueled, empowered by your love, the love of God, the love of the Father. Open our eyes and our ears to hear the wonderful words the Father wants to speak to his children. In your most holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Empowering love. That's what we're going to talk about. As we see here in John chapter 14, this is the night before Jesus was crucified. This was the night Jesus was betrayed. It was the Last Supper as he was teaching the disciples, teaching them about God's love and about the Father, and that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In fact, that was one of the missions, one of the primary missions that Jesus came was to reveal the Father to us and reveal the love of the Father as he revealed being the beloved Son who God was well pleased. See, Jesus modeled so much for us. He showed us what it looked like to be a beloved child. He showed us what it looked like to love the Father. He showed us what the Father wants with us, what he desires. He desires us to know him. He wants us to be in his family. This is why Jesus was sent. He didn't just come to bring justice to the earth. He did come to do that. And on the cross, our sins and all that would separate us from God was paid for on the cross. And he doesn't just welcome us to receive that. He invites us. You know, church, to be a church that has been reconciled, a church that looks like heaven, it's going to take more than just tolerating each other. It's going to take more than just justice and wanting justice for each other. See, that's not just what God wants. He doesn't just want justice. He doesn't just want to pay for our sins, but he wants us to be reconciled to him. See, you can have your sins paid for and secure your name in heaven and your eternity in heaven, and yet miss out on the relationship that God desires on this side of heaven. He wants us to be reconciled to him in relationship. Church, this is the answer to many of the ills, many of the problems. They will not be fixed by our governments, because the problem lives inside of the human heart. And only God has the power to give us a new heart. Only God has the power to drive out prejudice and racism and hate. God doesn't just want justice, and he wants justice. And 2,000 years ago, he fulfilled justice. For every sin, for every act of wickedness, he paid for it all. He paid for it all. And again, he doesn't just welcome you to the table. He invites you. He says, if you are weary and heavy laden, come to me and you will find rest. Come. He invites. God invites. Reconciliation is about an invitation. I believe most Bible-believing, and I say that Bible-believing, churches are welcoming of all people. But just being welcoming will not reconcile people to one another. Being a welcoming church will not give you diversity. But what will? What brings reconciliation? It's when we invite. It's when we invite when you're highly desired to be here. Men, you're all welcome to come on man camp. But if it was just a welcoming invitation, do you know how many people we'd have signed up? Not as many as we do. But when you call up and you press through and you say, no, you're not just invited, but you're desired. It won't be the same without you. God didn't just stay up in heaven and say, you're invited. God came near. God came near. Church, we got to go near. It's all about relationship. I'm going to get to my message in a moment. And we're going to talk about characteristics of a good father. And I'm so excited to pastor a church that's full of great dads, great fathers. And dads, you can take a deep breath and know that you're not going to be beat up today, okay? You're going to be encouraged and you're going to be celebrated because you're amazing. The fact that you're here, the fact that you're watching, the fact that you're engaged in your children's lives is awesome. But I think we all want to get better as fathers, don't we? That's what makes you a great father. You want to get better. You're here to get better. And then the more we know our Heavenly Father, and the more we know the love of the Father, the more we are going to be great fathers. And even better fathers. The more we know the love of the Father, the more we know how invited we are into His presence. You know that Jesus came so that nothing could separate us from God's love. Nothing could separate us from His presence. Nothing. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, guess what? It was finished. And there's nothing that can separate us from that love because of what Jesus did. If we receive that invitation, it's good news. Church, Jesus is the answer. And I promise you, and I know that I know that I know, that the Bible has the answer to all of life's most difficult questions. If you seek, you will find. And the answer to racism, the answer to prejudice, is clearly in the scriptures. Clearly there. And yes, has the devil blinded the people of God for years from the answer? For sure. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He understands the power of unity of the body of Christ. The church is unstoppable when we're unified. When we begin to look like heaven here on earth, hell has no chance. And the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the only thing that has the power to change the human heart. When we know more about who Abba, Father God, is, the more we will want to run into His arms, the more we will let Him change us. See, Jesus came to reveal the Father. As we read in John, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So everywhere you see the acts of Jesus and the stories Jesus told about the prodigal son, I mean, he's describing the Father God. He's describing the Father heart of God. When you see Jesus there with the woman who was caught in adultery, and he's there writing on the ground, and anybody wonder what he was writing? I don't know. Am I the only one that wonders? Like, you know, in Revelation it says there's a name written on his leg that nobody knows. Anybody ever ask? I have. I mean, nobody knows it, but God, you know, will you tell me? I mean, what audacity to ask. But when you know the Father and how good he is and how loving he is, you won't be afraid to ask. All you'll get is, no, I won't tell you. Okay. Next day. How about today? See, when you understand the heart of the Father, when you understand, he wants you to run to him. He's removed every obstacle. Do you understand? If you've received what Jesus has done on the cross, there is no fear of punishment from your Father. Zero. None. It's been exhausted. That's good news. That's why you can always run. No matter how you've performed this week, no matter how many times you read your Bible this week, you can run into the Father's arms. They're open to you. Why? Because it's not based on your performance. You don't have entrance into the Father's arms because of what you've done. Our works are like filthy rags. That never got us into his presence. If it could, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But he did have to come. Characteristic number one of a good father is a father gives life to his children. Right? He doesn't birth the children, but he gives life to the children. And God does the same. God gives us life, and God wants us to have a new life. Because with that life, we have sinned and we have chosen to separate ourselves from the love of God. Now, theologically, we know that all of us were born separated. We inherited what Adam did. And before you go, that's not fair, settle, life is not fair. Okay, life is not fair. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to bring justice where we can to where life isn't fair for people. But understand this, if life was totally fair, we would all deserve hell. But because life doesn't have to be fair, and because God is so merciful and loving and sent his Son to pay for our sins, we can experience the justice of what took place on the cross. And that's good news. And we must be born again. We must be born again. And that piano is going to help me get to the next six characteristics of a good father. You must be born again. If you're watching online, God loves you, and God wants a relationship with you. He invites you into his family, but you must be born again. You must give your life to him. You must surrender. You must accept what Jesus did on the cross. You must receive the forgiveness that he offers. Next characteristic of a good father is a father loves his children. A father loves his children. You go, isn't that obvious? Well, what does that mean? A father gives time. A father gives his gift and talents. A father gives its money. The father gives gifts to his children. Fathers, let me encourage you. Find ways to say yes to your children. Because our Heavenly Father says way more yeses than nos. See, the devil has punked this world. The devil has deceived this world in thinking that God is a God of a bunch of rules and a bunch of no's. But he is so much more a God of yeses. Look back to the beginning of creation. It was all yes and one no. All yes. Infinity yeses and one no. That's our Father. Find ways, fathers, to say yes. Find ways to say yes. Be a giver. You are a giver. Your Father in heaven's a giver. Number three, a father protects his children. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us?" Our Father protects. Nobody can snatch us out of his hand. Once we get into his hand, you cannot be snatched. He's written your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's guaranteed your eternity by giving you the Holy Spirit. Come on, the ultimate gift. He gave the same power that Jesus had upon his life, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, he gives to you and to me. And the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father is, I want you to do greater things than me. I mean, who's that not a good father? You know it. You want better for your kids. And I think a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the fear right now is a lot of fathers don't think it's going to be better for their kids. And that creates a lot of anxiety. But our God wants better. Our Father in heaven wants better. Like every good father does. Amen? And here's the great promise that can protect you and your future and your life is this, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. So that's amazing news. That's amazing protection that your destiny, your purpose cannot be destroyed. If you're still breathing, God is still willing and able to make everything in your life work out for good. Number four, a father will provide for his children. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above that cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He is faithful. Our God is faithful. If God said it, it should settle it. How do I know if God said it? Get in the Word. Find out what he said. Because you can bank on whatever his Word says. Whatever the Word says, you can bank on that. Because he is faithful. Number five, a father will teach and train his children. Now listen to this. This is a little bit of a lengthy passage in Hebrews 12, but you got to hear it. To understand, earlier I said there's no punishment for sons and daughters of God. That's why we don't have to be afraid. But God will teach and train us, and he will discipline us. Every good father will discipline their children. And God is good, so why wouldn't he discipline us? 7, chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training. For in doing what any loving father does for his children, for who has ever heard of a child who has never had to be corrected? We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons. And isn't it true that we all respect our earthly fathers, even though they corrected and disciplined us? Then should we demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline? Our parents corrected us for a short time of our childhood, and it seems good to them. But God corrects us throughout our lives for our own good, giving us an invitation to share in his holiness. Now all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time. Yet later, it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it." Pastor Preston, don't waste this storm. Don't waste this trial. You don't have to pretend like it's not hard. You don't have to pretend like you don't like wearing masks. You don't have to pretend. But we can endure whatever the pain is, whatever the trial is, we can endure it. And let God mature us. Let God purify us. Amen? Number six, a father will empower his children. That's what we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit has been sent. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, disciples, do not leave Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit's going to come. The gift of the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out so that you'll have the power, so that you'll have the empowering love of God to drive you to invite others as you were invited in. Church, we are not just called to be a welcoming church. We have been called to be much more. We are called to invite. If you're watching online, you are invited. We want you. We are so glad you're with us online. We can't wait to see you here. We can't wait for that day. You are invited. We've got a gift for you. We want to know your story. You're important. You're important to God and you're important to us. And if God's called you to be a part of this family, we can't be all we're called to be without you. A father empowers us. And lastly, a father will protect and love his children's mother. I believe one of the greatest gifts fathers, you can give your children is the love that you have for your wife. You model who God is, who God Almighty is in your marriage like nothing else. There's no greater apologetic for your children than to see you loving each other. Husbands, fathers, seeing you lay your life down for your wife. There is no greater proof for your children than they see you adore your wife. And I know, fathers, you love your children. And there have been moments I haven't felt like loving my wife. I confess, it's terrible. My wife stepped out, so don't tell her. There have been moments that I haven't felt that love for her. And maybe I even didn't feel that love from God. But then the Holy Spirit, my best friend, your best friend, reminded me how much I loved my kids. How much I loved my kids. And that love for my kids drove me to do the right thing and love my wife. It's one of the greatest, most loving things you can do for your kids is love your spouse. And James chapter 1, verse 27. The only religion that God loves and is acceptable. In verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Fathers, let's go to another level of our fatherhood with our own children. And let's not stop there, but let's be a father to the fatherless. We're having all kinds of meetings. We haven't figured out all the answers, but we're gonna. We're going to see justice, but more than just justice, we're going to see reconciliation, and we're going to see healing, and we're going to see. Lives changed, lives healed. The fatherless fathered. We're going to see mercy and grace. We're going to lay our lives down. Listen, facts matter, okay? Facts matter. They do matter. But facts don't care. And before even facts can be talked about in conversation, people have to know that each other care about each other. We have to lead with caring. That's what Jesus did, right? I mean, while we were yet sinners, what were the facts? We were sinners. We were at fault. I could use language because my wife's not here that's more strong, but I won't in case you get back to her. But we were in a difficult place. And God took responsibility for what wasn't his fault. And that's what he calls us to, all of us. Amen. To lay our lives down. To lay our rights down and just care. Love first. And then let's have a conversation and let's figure out how we can fix this. Amen? I know one of the ways we can fix it on Sunday is that we're not just welcoming churches, but we are an inviting church. That people know that they're highly desired in every church that is a Bible-believing church. And it's going to need to be a Spirit-filled church if we're going to see real reconciliation we've been talking about, because we can't do this without the Holy Spirit's help. And we aren't just an inviting church to the Holy Spirit. Let me camp out there for a moment. The Holy Spirit's not just invited at Bethel. He's not just welcomed at Bethel, rather. He's invited. He is needed. He's highly desired. Like, this is waste of time if he doesn't show up. That's how much he's desired and needed. You know, what you don't see all the time is all of us on our knees going, Holy Spirit, if you don't come, this is going to stink. This is going to be useless. For 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit hasn't even been welcomed in many churches. He's the most ignored and rejected of the Trinity. And then those that will at least even put a dove somewhere, like in the building or on the hymnal book, they're okay with the dove being on the hymnal book, but it don't get out on everybody else. No. We need to invite the Holy Spirit. Every day you need to invite the Holy Spirit to let the river burst out of you. How does that work? It's just, Holy Spirit, I need you. Cry out. Just cry. I mean, if you need, just, Holy Spirit, I want you. Burst out of me. Fill me up. I need your power. I need your empowering love. I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this without you. John 15:9. I love you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must allow my love to continually nourish your hearts. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're watching, would you, if you're able, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Spirit of truth, if there be any anxiousness in us, if there be anything that is separating us from the love of the Father, if there be any sin that we're cherishing in our hearts, if there be any prejudice in us Holy Spirit, examine our hearts. Examine our hearts today. Shine your light. We just wait on Him. A still, quiet voice speaking to your heart. Holy Spirit wanting you to know that your Father loves you. You're valuable to Him. He wants every area of your life and your soul to be reconciled to Him. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. He wants you to feel and experience and know that you have been forgiven, that He's died for every one of your mistakes and your sins. He's the healer of your soul. He's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, come on, just let Him in. The Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Come on, it's all about relationship. Open up your heart. Come on, just say, Jesus, I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, I acknowledge you are my Savior. You are my Lord today. Today, remove any selfish thing. Remove any prejudice. Remove any fear, any anxiety. River of God, Holy Spirit, fill me. I receive your love and your forgiveness. I receive your joy. I receive you today. Rivers of living water flow through me, through my soul, oh God. That peace that transcends all understanding, I grab hold of. Live in me. Live in me. I want to know your voice. I want to know you. I want to know the love of the Father. I want to be able to go into the Abba Father's arms and know His love and His embrace, His unconditional love that's available because of Jesus and what He's done. Run into His arms, church. Run into His arms. Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's inviting you. He's drawing you in to the Father's arms. Be embraced today. Your Father in heaven, He loves you. He cares for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.